This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
Welcome to Unapologetically Bold, I'm Not Sorry For. If you are a person that is tired of apologizing for being you, you know, the human part of you that sometimes feels like it has to be different at home versus work versus play, the human side that just wants to be hot, humble, open, and transparent about your wants, desires, and uniqueness. If you answered yes, this is for you. Join me, Emily Elrod, as I dive into conversations with amazing guests about what they are not sorry for in creative and loving ways. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another Unapologetically Bold, I'm Not Sorry For. And I am so blessed today to have a good friend with me, Gretchen. Welcome, Gretchen.
Hey, Emily. Thanks for having me.
This is going to be an amazing conversation, as you're such a dynamic and awesome lady that just... I just love always having a conversation with you and just the wisdom that you just spew out and just the stories. I'm just blessed to have you on. So thank you again. So for the people that do not know who you are, Gretchen, if you could just give us a quick introduction to who's Gretchen Scott.
Thanks, Emily, so much. That was a very sweet welcome. I love the intro. I forgot about your HOT acronym. I actually have shared that so many times. I love that. My name's Gretchen Schott, and I own a company called Leading Well. You can find that at www.gretchenschott.com. I'm an executive coach, and I'm a speaker. I also work for a wonderful organization called True You, where I'm the vice president of learning and development. And that's an organization where we believe great companies make their people better. And everything I do is focused on loving well and leading people well so they can be their best self. So I don't know if that's, is that enough an intro? I don't know. People, if you want to learn more, you can stalk me on LinkedIn, but you know, you can talk about other stuff.
I love it. No, that's perfect. And I think that actually flows amazingly into what you're not sorry for. So Gretchen, the question of the day is, what are you no longer apologizing for?
Yeah, I'm not sorry for loving well, right? I really truly believe that when we are loving well, we are leading well, which is how I started the name of my company, which is the whole purpose of my own company. But I just have found that, you know, people over the years have told me that I love them really well, and that I, when they're with me, that they feel very loved. And I used to be kind of like, oh, that feels really soft, and oh, that's kind of silly. But I have just leaned into that because, you know, when I am loving well, I feel better. I know that I'm serving others, and it just gives me so much back. And so I'm not sorry for saying that I love well. So,
and I think it's so important too that I even had this conversation the other day in the safety space with an amazing person, Jason. He is one of my favorite humans on this earth. And we were just talking about how we can bring love into the safety realm, because it's been in HR. It's been talked about a little bit in the HR, but it's slowly going to this new one, and it's more of a stop at the point. But what I went from is physiologically, love is in our body. Like, it's secreted through what I call the loving grandmother, oxytocin. So how have you been able to talk with people and bring love into organizations with them not being like, oh, this is soft and fluffy, like, we can't touch this?
Yeah. I think it shows up in lots of different ways, right? So loving people well is being supportive and being that cheerleader, and I'm so proud of you, and I'm recognizing you. And so, you know, developing programs and things like that that require folks to demonstrate that they recognize accomplishments and support for others. That's kind of like table stakes, easy. But I think the harder piece is loving people well through conflict, through struggle, through suffering, right? Because we're not meant to live in this life and have everything be like wonderful and roses, right? Like, the Lord made us to have this life, right? And that life does require suffering. It's through that suffering that we grow closer to Him. And so, not that He wants our entire life to be about suffering, but it's in those moments of suffering and that brokenness that I feel like is where that kind of that transformation happens. And I think that's kind of like that secret sauce that I really love to lean into with individuals, or even with teams. You know, you see teams that haven't been thriving or haven't been working successfully together, and they have that like breakthrough of like, oh, when you do this and I do this, that pisses you off and that makes me mad and that makes it hard for me to like you, let alone love you. But you know what? I respect you and I see goodness in you, and I'm gonna lean into attracting that which I want in my life, right?
So it makes me wonder, what's your definition of love?
Oh my gosh, that's a good question. I don't know. I've never thought about that. I feel like I've read so many books about love. I remember like back in college, I read Leo Buscaglia's book about love. I think I would probably say that love for me is, I would go back to probably Corinthians 1 Corinthians 16:14, do everything in love. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, being love is being our whole heart, our whole self, loving ourselves enough so that we can also love others. Right. Mm-hmm. It's probably a bad definition using the word love while you're describing it, but
no, but it's so true. We say for ours, love is to be patient, kind, honest, understanding, and not boasting of ill will. And the power in that aspect is that we can be honest. Like sometimes people think, what I found is that they think love is just like this emotional response, but I want to argue that it's an action. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who doesn't want to be, well, scratch that. Being patient's hard, but who doesn't want to have patient given back to people to have that grace and that kindness to be given back to them, you know? And so it's that walk of understanding our actions and how they can make us trust each other better or work with mm-hmm. each other better. Yeah. And I guess that's something else I'd love to talk about with you is in the work that you do, we also say that love can sometimes be seen as trust. And mm-hmm. they're actually the same thing in my opinion. Like it has some of the safety side, the psychological safety that can come into it. But from your experience and the people that you've worked with, what are some things, maybe an example that you can think of where love boosted the trust or just boosted them from just surviving to actually thriving?
Yeah. Well, I agree that there has to be a level of trust in order for folks not only to give, but also receive love, mm-hmm. right? I think that, when I think about leaders that I've worked with and where love has and transformed or maybe enhanced our relationship has been through conflicts, has been through struggle and challenge, right? Like mm-hmm. You can work on projects and you can get really, really wedded to your own ideas. But, you know, I have someone that I work with today who constantly challenges me. We have a wonderful friendship and a wonderful relationship too. But like, it's like, if we get into it, like everyone else is like, oh my gosh, mom and dad are fighting. Right. And we have blown up in front of people on the team and gotten angry with one another. But more importantly, when we've come back, whether it be like I've lost my cool. And when I get mad, like non-verbally, unfortunately, you know what I'm thinking. And that's like the gift of me, like how I show up, you see it all the time. So that's why I never probably had a great career in acting, because like I just can't pretend like this is me. So if I'm mad, you're gonna know it. I'm probably gonna get red, you know, and I'm gonna stutter. And my children always say I get the gritty mom voice, you know, when I get really mad, I grip my teeth. And so I've had those kind of like exchanges with this woman that I work with in front of others. But more importantly, I think where love leaned into that is, you know, taking a step back. And I remember this one time we had this argument and I knew that I was wrong. And I was really angry with the decision that she had made because she hadn't asked me about it. She just kind of went and took it upon herself to make a decision. And it wasn't a decision I wanted, went in another direction. And I went to lunch, I came back and I brought her a lavender plant because I love lavender and I know she's a gardener, right? And I made sure that when I gave it to her, like everyone then knew, because everyone was like, oh my God, I'm so right now. I don't think anyone's able to work the rest of the day. And Gretchen just left. I went to lunch, right? And I apologized to her in front of everyone. I was like, I'm sorry, I lost my cool. I respect you. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you did. And, you know, this is just, you know, not my olive branch, but my lavender branch, because I know you garden and I love you, right? And that kind of acceptance and seeing that and how we could be in conflict with one another, but then also be okay afterwards, I think is really where that transformation happens.
See, that's so amazing. It actually, for me, what it brings back is I was reading a book. I cannot think of what it was, but it was talking about conflict and that actually some of the greatest inventors and they had that conflict. They had those people that you can go at each other, but mm-hmm. still there was that basis of love. And I think it was the Wright brothers is what they talked about is before they created the plane and all their stuff that it was, they had this massive blow up, but that's what they did. Their dad taught them how to argue.
To do that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's so, and I'm going to tell you, that is probably one of the biggest things I see in work right now that's really frustrating me. And I wrote a post on this too, or it's in my draft box. It's going to go out later.
Must be coming.
Yes. And it was all around how I feel like we're getting to with these feel good messages. Like we just want to make people feel good that we don't teach them ways to go through the conflict. We don't teach them how to have these conversations. And what we're having right now, what I'm seeing in some of the work that I'm doing is some of this entitlement that's coming back with people coming back to work that, oh, we got all this stuff and we keep getting stuff. And this one amazing CEO has given them the world and they're asking for more.
More. Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, at some point you got, they're pushed, you're getting pushed over. You're not getting, so love is to be honest, in my opinion. So talk about that. Like, how can we teach people, or what are some things that you make, that you teach on conflict resolution, loving through conflict? What are some of those things?
I like to think of it as how do we serve others, right? That's where it is. I think that the heart of that, because when we start feeling entitled, and I guess people who are entitled probably don't know that they're entitled, right? But when we start feeling like I'm not enough, or I'm feeling like mm-hmm. I'm not getting enough, or that's not good enough, right? And as we can get, that whole world can get mucked up in us, right? Especially if you start looking at like social media and it looks like everyone's all wonderful. Everyone's going on spring break. Everyone's going places. Everyone's doing things and I'm not. And to really get out of that, I always coach folks like, in that moment, then pause and figure out what is a way in which you can serve someone else. Because when we're serving others, it brings us back to center, brings us back to the core of who we are. What are our values? What are our beliefs? What are our mm-hmm. actions and decisions as a result of that? And because of that, that influences our impact on the world, right? And that's mm-hmm. what's truly disruptive. The conflict allows us to get disruptive, right? But when we think about how are we able to serve others, and serving others doesn't have to be this grand thing. Like we go and, you know, give 2,000 meals to people and we've fed people. Like that's certainly important. Don't get me wrong, but serving others can be very simply just picking up the phone, not a text, picking up mm-hmm. the phone and getting in relationship with someone saying, I haven't talked to you in a while. How are you? Right. Sending a letter, writing a letter and mailing it. Who does not like mail? I mean, seriously, like I still get excited to go out to my mailbox, right? Getting a letter from someone just saying, I was thinking of you today, or, you know, I was thinking about myself and I really learned this from you and I hope to be more like this. Those small acts of serving are things that allow us to get out of being self-focused and allow us to serving others, right? And I think I think conflict starts coming because we start getting, we need to be inward. We need to be thinking about ourselves. We need to be inward focused so that we can know ourselves, because we don't know ourselves and we can't know others, right? But when we start getting obsessed and like in the muck and all the head trash about what we don't have, right? Then we need to just turn that around and we need to start thinking about how we serve others. And if you're not in a place where you can do that, where you're just so sad, and trust me, over the last year, even in the last couple of weeks, I have been stuck in some of that myself. I've got my daughters getting ready to graduate high school, go off to college, and it's a very emotional time for me. And there have been some days where I've been very blue. And that's when you then need community, right? You need to lean into others. So when you can't get there yourself, you need to put yourself in community with other people that lift you up, other people that are sunny, other people that are at least on the outside look like they're doing well. And then get into those conversations, because I think we learn more from one another's struggle than we do from one another's success. I love celebrating. I love having everyone be successful. But it's aspirational for me to hear about people's success. It's motivating for me to hear about people's success. But what I really grow from and what I get the most from is by learning people's failures and their struggles and recognizing that I'm not alone, right? Because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to believe we're alone, right? If we're alone, then we got nobody but all the bad stuff. So,
yep. And it's so important too that it's not just loving, but it's loving well. And your well-being really plays a huge part in this and in your self-awareness too, which not everybody has. I love my husband, but he is not the most self-aware human being there is. And so it's like cultivating that and doing exercises and understanding that it is like anything else. You can learn it. You can grow it and how much it can impact you. And just seeing my husband, like with the things that he's learning and growing in, and as simple as just naming your emotions, you know, or seeing whenever your ego's intact and whenever you feel inferior or superior, whenever something comes at you. So what is something that you would suggest for people to learn how to not just love, but love well, that well-being aspect?
So I like to think about ourselves in like the whole person perspective. And so when we talk about this, I think people oftentimes, and we have to physically, like, how are you feeling physically, right? If you're not physically healthy, if you're not physically strong, if you're not physically comfortable with where you are, it's really hard for you to get to anything else, right? And then if you're physically like, okay, I don't like this, but I can work on that, right? Then maybe, you know, where are you at spiritually? Like, do you have other community? Do you have a belief in something greater than you? Financially, like, are you financially well? Are you making steps to have a life where you can feel like you can give more to others? Are you making the money that you want? So all of those things kind of feed in, but I think it really kind of starts at the people usually present with like, oh, I don't love the way I look, or oh, I could lose a few more pounds, right? And then they get kind of like stuck in like the physicality of all of that, of how they look, and if I don't look good, then I don't feel good. And there's certainly a piece to that. But it goes deeper, and you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is the, you know, the model, right? Like people get stuck, I believe, in that love and belongingness tier, right? So there's like the physical safety, love and belonging. If you are not in relationship with others, then you're not going to be able to lead well, because who are you leading except for yourself? And you can talk to yourself for only so long. You can listen to your own garbage for only so long. We are meant to be in community with other people. We are meant to serve others. And so, you know, as we think about, you know, that hierarchy of getting to actually being self-actualized, I think it's a constant focus on that desire to be our best self, right? And I think that, you know, you can do that in a number of ways. And I think that sometimes folks get stuck because then they can't take on too much, right? I'm going to meet more people. I'm going to exercise 4 times a week. I'm going to make this much money. And then I'm going to be like, have the best career. And it's like, all of those are fantastic. Right. But like, let's dial that down. Let's like maybe get to one realistic kind of goal and work on that and work on cultivating that. I, for me, I don't know about you, Emily, but I always choose a word of the year. And when I choose a word of the year, then I also choose a scripture that goes with it. My word for this year is gratitude. And I've been trying to keep a daily gratitude journal to just be more mindful, right? And I chose that word because I felt like I was getting very self-focused. And I spent a year focused on humility, and that was hard, right? Like, how many times a day do you realize you're not humble, right? And through that wonderful year of thinking about that, I decided I need to focus more on gratitude. And so I think that that's also really important. I think journals are really important, keeping track, but not to the point of like checklists, you know, but like do the work, do the deep work, process, take time to think about not just sharing information, but like, what am I doing with this information that I have? What am I doing with this life that I have? So,
see, and I love that because it's the biggest thing that I talk about is knowledge isn't power, it's knowledge and action, which is wisdom. And that, in essence, is what you're talking about. And, I get a word every year. Last year's was unapologetically bold. Didn't know what to do with it for a while. And look what I have now.
Yeah.
This year's is inspired humanity, and it's past tense. So I'm like, okay, I don't know, but we're going to just keep going with it.
Yeah.
But it's, those things are so huge. And it actually, it's funny that you said that too.
I ask my team, and this is something that if any of the listeners, I really want to challenge you on, is ask your team, what is their word? Mm-hmm. One of my people's is worth. Another one is authentic, to be authentic. And yeah. So I am challenging them. Anytime I see one of those words, like they're arguing with it, they're not feeling like they're being their authentic self, or right. they dismiss their abilities. I'm like, what's your worth?
Yeah.
You know, and
asking about it, holding them accountable to like, what, why is that important to you right now? Yeah.
Yeah. And as leaders, putting them in positions where they can grow that. Mm-hmm. Like I have one, I am stepping back and she's doing an entire presentation where I'm usually the one that's always doing it. I'm like, no, yeah. I know your worth. I know your value. And I know you can do this. I would put you up against anybody.
Yeah.
But she's like, hi. I'm like, in our, as a team, our goal is to stay in between nausea and excitement. Because that's where our growth space is. So yeah. I think that for all the listeners, if you don't have a word, get one. Like
pick a word. Yeah.
Pick a word. And it's helping you to focus. I'll tell you the hardest word I think I've ever got was patience. Mm. And that one is one that I will say I learned to love myself through that, because how impatient I was, and going back to even to that entitlement that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Seeing where all that stuff can flow in so easily in on us, mm-hmm. In our first world problems that we have, which are still problems.
Totally.
They're still pains.
Yeah.
But they're there. So.
Yeah. When I focus on humility, I had to really reconcile with being confident and humble.
Oh.
That was what I struggled with. Right. Cause I would have these, and the best part about doing it with the team is that you have people to hold you accountable. So the year that I chose humility as my word, my team lived to say like, are you being humble right now? How is humility? Like it, constant reminders. Right. But that was my big growth, was trying to understand like, how can I be confident and humble at the same time? Mm-hmm. And so it goes back to like, we're meant to be in community with each other. So sharing that and sharing that growth together, having accountability to be our best self, as a guiding force, right? Just that, just one word, every time it comes up, then, you know, posting it so you can see it. So you're constantly thinking about if that's what being my best self means for me this year, right? If that's what it means, how am I living that out? What am I learning about myself as a result of that? I think that's super important. I've done that for probably 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I've seen this a theme with a lot of top CEOs. They've been doing it for years and they can map out their course, which is so cool.
Yeah.
And I think, I feel like this is a habit of a lot of high performers in the aspect of it's having intentionality mm-hmm. for the year and not just, hey, new year, new you kind of style, but it's intentionality throughout the year. So to get back to that loving well, mm-hmm. what would you say to people that apologize for loving well, that they want, like they're bringing in it into workplaces that may mm-hmm. still not be acceptable, but they're going to have that servant and they're hitting roadblocks. I'm thinking specifically of one of my clients. They are one of the most kind, loving humans, and they just keep hitting roadblocks with their leadership. What would you say to that person?
I think that we need to first know why we're so fixated on loving someone well, right? Loving well when it's not received well is always a challenge, right? Because it can feel like it's really soft. It can feel like you're majoring in the minors. You're caring about stuff that nobody cares about, right? But really, it's about honoring our humanity, and it's honoring mm-hmm. that I see you. And let's be clear, in the last year, we need to see a heck of a lot more in our world, right? There are so many people that are hurting and that are now trying to heal, because for years and years, we just haven't seen them. Mm-hmm. And so I would just send encouragement towards understand that it's not always, it's always going to feel like it's fluffy, because it makes us vulnerable, right? Mm. When we are loving well, we are vulnerably putting ourselves out there to be dismissed, to be chastised, to be, you know, thought of like, you're not whatever, then you're not the business professional that I thought you were, you're making it too soft or whatever that might be. But ultimately it's, you know, at the end of the night, what am I going to put my head down on the pillow and be proud of? And if I can know that I impacted the life of just one person, like perhaps that's my purpose for that day, right? Perhaps my kindness and my generosity and being present in that moment, sitting with someone, asking them a question, holding their hand, calling them, like whatever that might be, those small things might be what was the intention of my purpose for that day. And mm-hmm. I would just encourage folks to lean into those moments, because those are the moments that create loyalty. Those are the moments that create people, the desire to want to be there, you know, and to be in community with you. So I hope that's helpful. I mean, when we were starting today, hopefully I say something that somebody needs to hear today. That was my prayer coming in today. So hopefully some of that made sense.
No, it does. And I think if the biggest takeaway too is I want people to understand the power of community, because literally I'm going to nerd out on my physiology. That's what happens. Oxytocin, loving grandmother, it likes people. That's the reason that we have to have others. And I was talking to another person the other day, and he was saying how he just doesn't feel like he's trusting people like he used to. And it's just, he's feeling resistant.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he knows about oxytocin. I'm like, yeah, it's normal that you're feeling the way that you're feeling right now. You have not had human interaction for a long time.
Yeah.
And so that has done something to our physiology that makes us less trusting. It makes us more entitled. So we have to be, one, aware of it, and two, diligent in doing things in community. Like you said, handwritten notes, being mm-hmm. vulnerable, sharing those times when life has sucked.
Yeah.
And just being open. So I love that. And I think it's so important. So whoever's listening, this is game-changing advice. So I guess to finish it out, what would you invite somebody to do? If you could just say one last piece of advice, what would you invite them to do to be able to love well?
I would say get really clear with how you like to be loved, so that when you are not receiving that, you can seek ways to get that, whether it's through your own self-care or whether it's building relationships with people that can provide that to you, whether it's changing relationships so that you can get really, really clear on what does it mean for you to be loved well, and then get really, really clear on how you love others well, right? Just write it down, write it down. This is what it means for me to feel love. For me, it's appreciation, it's value, it's conversation, it's showing interest in me. It's physical, like hugs. I'm a huge hugger. Like the thing with COVID has killed me. Like everyone I know, I'm like, when you see me, better get ready. It's coming. It's going to be a big old hug. That physical touch is important to me. And so knowing that about myself, I also know that not everyone wants to receive that same kind of thing, but I know that that's what I need, and that's what I receive. And so then from there, I can understand how I can use the best parts of myself, right? My listening or my communication or just, you know, the way in which I show up to be present mm-hmm. to somebody that can love them well. So that would be my advice. Get clear on how you love to be loved and how you can love others.
And I think one thing that helped me, and actually my husband, even before we got married, was doing the love languages. So
yeah, love languages are great. I love it.
Yes. And of course, I'm words of affirmation and he is physical touch. And so it's like, I have to play with his hair, pat him on the back. And I'm just like, okay, where's my words?
Yeah.
Did
you see that I did that for you?
Yeah.
Did you see that I was playing with your hair? Yeah.
Did you notice? So. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely love it. So thank you so much, Gretchen, for joining me today. You're such an amazing human being, and I am so blessed to have had you on and just give your wisdom. Like I said, people, from the beginning, wisdom was going to be happening, and it did. So thank you, and thank you for all that will listen in later. I hope you have an amazing and blessed day.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Unapologetically Bold, I'm Not Sorry For. If this touched you in any way, please like and subscribe and share with your friends as we continue the message of being unapologetically bold by being hot humans who are humble, open, and transparent. See you next time.